Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. It is Monday, the start of another week, the start of the international break. Never a good time to say that, is there? Well, I don't know. I suppose if you love your international football, then it's always a good time to say it. But I don't know, right in the heart of the season, right at the business end of the season, just feels like a really frustrating break. I mean, they all feel quite frustrating, don't they, at times? But this one feels really particularly frustrating given the momentum Arsenal have got, given how exciting the season is shaping up to be. You just want it to keep going. But we've got a couple of weeks now to take stock, to look at what's going on and to focus on that huge, huge game at Manchester City in 13 days' time. Still bits and pieces to talk about today. Got plenty of questions and comments, responses from you from what we spoke about yesterday with William Saliba potentially being called up to the Olympics. Lots of you have been having your say on that, on the Champions League versus Premier League debate that I was talking about yesterday. We've got some news on Thomas Partey, Tomiyasu. What else? Mikel Arteta's been in Madrid as well. So plenty to talk about. We'll start with the news about Thomas Partey, shall we? He is not going away during the international break. He has decided to stay back at home in London at Arsenal to work on his fitness ahead of the title run-in, which feels like a very sensible decision to me. Let me know your thoughts on it, of course, but look, plenty of you have got in touch when I've spoken about this recently and thought that maybe it'd be a good thing for Thomas Partey to go with Ghana during the international break and get some minutes, because he's not really got any minutes yet, and when he has played, he's looked pretty rusty, and maybe minutes would have done him the world of good. But I was always a little bit, for my choice of it, I was always kind of erring on the side of him potentially staying. I get what you mean about him getting minutes. That's clearly a good thing. But I just do worry about the travel and the distance and the plane flights. And we've seen it before when Thomas has been away on international duty and he's come back and he suddenly picked up a muscle injury. So I kind of feel like this is a sensible decision. He spoke to the Ghana FA and he said he wanted to stay, not be included in his squad. He wanted to stay at Arsenal and regain his full fitness ahead of the final couple of months of the season. Now, I don't know yet if Arsenal are going to be having any sort of behind closed doors games. It wouldn't surprise me if they do. Obviously, lots of players are away at the moment, but there are plenty of players who are still going to be here. And when you sort of talk about Thomas Partey, now we've got Tomiyasu as well, who's not going away with Japan. He's also decided to stay rather than go over his international camp, and he's going to stay and work on his fitness, as he, just like Partey, has just come back from a long-term absence. So he's going to be here. Timber, again, who, you know, has been in and around training now for a long, long time. You feel the time is pretty much right now, you would say, that he's going to start getting some minutes somewhere, whether that be with the under-21s or whether that be a behind-closed-doors friendly. It just kind of makes sense to me. It wouldn't surprise me at all if something is put together. Maybe, you know, Arsenal play Watford a lot. Watford's training ground literally borders Arsenal's. There's a fence that separates the two, so it can be quite easy for them to suddenly organize a bit of a behind closed doors friendly that we don't even hear about. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's what's happened. And so although everyone's saying, oh, Thomas could have gone over to Ghana and got some minutes, that'd be a good thing, I think there's a good chance that he might get minutes here and not have to do all that international air travel, which we've seen before with him, does tend to aggravate some muscle injury. So I think it's a good thing, but let me know your thoughts on it. If I do hear of any news about behind closed doors friendly, then of course I will let you guys know. It's something that Mikel does tend to like, and even if he doesn't do it with Watford, you can kind of do it with the under 21s teams or the under 18s teams who are left, who aren't on international duty. You can get some sort of games together. It's not anywhere near as competitive as against someone else, but at least it is a chance to get some minutes into players' legs. So yeah, I think it's positive news with Thomas Partey. He clearly has a big part to play for Arsenal between now and the end of the season. The last thing you would have wanted was for him to pick up any sort of needless injury. And I don't say, and needless is maybe the wrong word, because obviously it's very important that you play for your international countries. And for Thomas Partey, it's very important. This isn't him turning his back on Ghana by any means. It's a case of him just thinking what's best for him over the course of the next couple of months. And by the time Ghana's next internationals will be up, Thomas Partey will certainly be involved in those. But for this one, at this stage of the season, I think it's a sensible decision. But let me know by responding with your comments below. Right, I just wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about Pedro Neto. Now, keen observers of this channel or listeners to this podcast will know that I'm a huge, huge fan of Pedro Neto. And I've consistently voiced my opinion that I think Arsenal should sign him in the summer, or really push to sign him in the summer. We know he's a player that Arsenal have liked, that they've been interested in before, but the time that Arsenal went knocking to Wolves weren't interested, and the sort of money it would have taken to maybe change that stance wasn't something Arsenal were willing to put on the table. Now, whether they go back for Pedro Neto this summer as they look for another wide attacker, which is a position I do think they will look to try and strengthen in when the window opens, you know, whether they go back for Pedro Neto, that remains to be seen. But I've consistently said that I would very much like it. And lots of you respond to that and saying, oh, his injury issues, you know, can we really lay down that sort of money for a player who constantly picks up hamstring issues and things like that? And I've always kind of been thinking, you know what, yeah, it is a worry. And the last thing Arsenal want is to sign, is put a lot of money down on the table for another injury prone player. But I've always thought, oh, it's worth it with Pedro Neto, because I just think he fits Arsenal perfectly. And I still do think he fits Arsenal perfectly. I think when you look at the position that Arsenal need to look to strengthen in the squad, that sort of wide attacker to really be another decent option for Bukayo Saka, one that really doesn't drop the level off. He can also play on the opposite flank. He's so fast, talented. He's got an eye for goal. You know, I just think he ticks all the boxes. But, and there is a but, it's always felt like there's a but coming in this one. This latest hamstring injury, which Pedro Neto has now picked up, and if you're watching on YouTube, you can see the quotes from Gary O'Neill speaking after the quarterfinal in the FA Cup at the weekend when Wolves lost to Coventry. He said, Pedro, potentially, it's the end of the season for him. It's a very similar to the injury he suffered on the other side. When he's talking about hamstring, there is a chance he comes back for the last couple of games, maybe if it goes really well. It's similar to the last injury, which was around 9 weeks, so potentially around that time frame. The rehab can go differently, so it could be quicker or slightly longer. We'll see how it goes. So yet another hamstring injury for Pedro Neto. And I have to admit, after this one, I'm beginning to change my tune on it. You know, it's easy. And I think in football, you can always get sort of sidetracked a little bit, can't you? You can watch a player really playing really well and you just think, I want him. And you kind of had the blinkers on a little bit and ignore everything else. And but once he gets another injury, suddenly you take those blinkers off and think, you know what, I'm probably being a little bit blinded by his quality here. But I am beginning to think it would be a risk with Pedro Neto. And lots of people say it. Whenever I speak to James Benjamin, we do our Inside Arsenal Extra Time, he always says that the biggest indicator of future injuries is past injuries. It's a line that James loves to say, and I always kind of roll my eyes at it a little bit. But he's right. He's absolutely right. And if you're willing, if you think it's probably going to cost, what, 60 million, 70 million to get Pedro Neto out of Wolves this summer, and with that long list of hamstring injuries that he has, the amounts of times he picks them up, whenever he starts getting into the groove once again, he gets another one, and they're always bad hamstring injuries. You know, they're not 3 weeks or 4 weeks. They're like these couple of months type layoffs with Pedro Neto, that I'm beginning to think that maybe I'll hold my hands up, admit I was wrong, and that all you guys were right who were saying, no, we should steer clear of Pedro Neto because of his injury issues. I'm beginning to think you're probably right, and maybe Arsenal should look elsewhere. As good as he is, as much as I think he ticks all the boxes for Arsenal when it comes to his actual quality as a footballer. This latest injury issue is finally it's worried me. It's made me think Arsenal should potentially look elsewhere when it comes to the winger situation. I'd love to know who you guys think Arsenal should sign when they're looking at those wide attackers. If it's not going to be a Pedro Neto, who is there? You know, who fits Arsenal really, really well? You know, are you thinking like a Michael Olise or someone like that? And I'm not saying Arsenal are in for Michael Olise. I'm just sort of throwing names out there because this is clearly an area that Arsenal needs to target. When you look at the makeup of Arsenal's squad and how they can continue to improve and go to the next level season after season, there's three key areas for me, maybe four. I know lots of you think centre-back is very important. I'm not so sure on that just yet. I wouldn't say no to one, but I think Arsenal can go another summer without signing a centre-back. But I just look, when you look at midfield, at central midfield position, striker, obviously, but then a wide attacker. I think those three are so, so key to Arsenal improving, going to the next level. And yeah, getting that wide attacker is just, it's going to be really, really important. And, you know, I've long been Pedro Neto, but let me know who you guys think it should be. If it's not going to be Neto, if the injuries do worry you when it comes to him, who would you think Arsenal should be knocking on the door for once the transfer window opens in the summer? Love to get your views on that. Yep, players have been away at the moment, having a bit of downtime. I was talking yesterday how Bukayo Saka's been over in America watching some basketball. I think he was at the Boston Celtics over the course of the last few days. Mikel Arteta now, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see a picture here. This was from the Madrid under-19s derby over the weekend, Atletico Madrid versus Real. I think Atletico won 3-0, moved 7 points clear at the top of that table. So clearly got a very good, talented young side, the Atletico Madrid under-19s team. And Mikel Arteta, if you're watching, you can see him there, just sort of on the left of your screen watching the game. So he's been in Madrid. That's how he's been using his time off, doing a bit of scouting. Perhaps maybe there's a young player on one of the two Madrid sides that Arsenal are looking at. I don't know. It's purely speculation, but that's where he's been over the course of the last few days. Arsenal will now all be coming back. The players who aren't on their international duties will all start coming back to Colney over the next couple of days to start preparing for that Manchester City game. Like I said, when the likes of Thomas Partey, Tomiyasu, players like that who aren't with their international breaks, with their international teams, plenty of other players as well. You know, your Emil Smith-Rose, your Reece Nelsons, Gabriel Jesus hasn't gone with Brazil. So there's going to be plenty of players left behind at Colney. It's going to be a really important couple of weeks for them after having a bit of a break over the last few days, including Arteta, as you can see, and the coaching staff. Everyone's going to come back together and then all eyes are going to be on that Manchester City game. So as much as it's a bit quiet at the moment, it's going to be a really, really important couple of weeks at the training ground for Arteta and an awful lot of players.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, moving on to some of your questions and comments before we wrap this one up today. Peter's got in touch, says, hi, Charles, is it just me or do others have concern about the development of Arsenal's young players? Definitely not you, Peter. Lots of people have voiced their concern over that over the last few months. Martinelli and Saka are the only regulars in our current first team developed through our academy, and they were given debuts by Arteta's predecessor. Arteta talks about how well ESR is playing in training, and yet is continually being left on the bench or an unused substitute. There is much talk now about needing to sign a big money striker this summer, yet we have a star in the making out on loan at Sturm Graz, Mika Birif. On loan this season at Motherwell and subsequently Sturm Graz, his 21 appearances have seen him score 14 goals. It is now being reported the 21-year-old is ready to become a regular in the senior game beyond this season, and that it's unlikely that Arsenal will turn to Birif next year. The talk is he may well be sold. Is Arteta risk-averse to blooding our youngsters? Now, we've had this debate a few times. haven't had it for a while, but I thought it was quite an interesting comment, and Peter's clearly put a lot of thought into it. I never buy the fact that only Martinelli and Saka are the only regulars that have come first team developed through our academy. You know, Eddie Nketiah is a regular. Reece Nelson's a regular. They might not be regular starters, but they're regulars. And I don't. And the fact that they were given debuts by Arteta's predecessor, you know, they were. You know, that's fact. But they've developed into the players they are now because of Mikel Arteta. There's no doubt about it. You know, and he's not risk averse to a, when you talk about youngsters, and you just mentioned academy, but this is a very young Arsenal team. Yeah, he's a player. He's a manager who has developed William Saliba now over the last couple of years into the player that he is. You know, it's such a young squad. You know, Arteta has turned to youth. His whole Arsenal team has been built around youth. Not all of them academy players, but it's been built around youth. So I don't think he's risk averse to it. I just think right now where Arsenal are, it's even more difficult to do it. You know, you talk about Mika Birif there. It's a huge stretch to suddenly think Arsenal, when they're really trying to keep pace with Manchester City and possibly go beyond Manchester City and win the Champions League and win the Premier League. You know, it's a huge, huge risk to not sign a striker when you desperately need one. When you're chasing those goals and thinking, no, we're going to go with Mika Birif next season. You know, yes, he's done well at Motherwell. Yes, he's doing well at Sturm Graz. But does that mean he's going to do well at Arsenal next season? Absolutely not. And it would be a huge, huge risk to go down that route. You know, does he deserve an opportunity to impress? Potentially so, but you've got to take the player into account as well. You know, he's already given this interview recently saying he doesn't want to be on the bench. So, which was a very similar situation to Flo Balogun. Balogun wanted to go and Arsenal decided to sell him. And I still think that was absolutely the right decision. And it's not exactly like Balogun's gone and torn up any trees this season at Monaco over in France. So I don't think he's risk averse to it. I think he's got a lot of pressure on him, Mikel Arteta. And I think he needs to win. He needs to start showing that he can win. And he's going to go with the players that he thinks are the best to do that. So look, I'd love to see more academy players come through. I just don't think there's the crop there right now underneath the first team that are good enough at the moment. I have to say that we haven't got a crop coming through with the likes of Saka and Smith Rowe and players like that. We might have in a couple of years, but right now I just don't think they do. The Arsenal's best talented players at the moment are around the sort of 16, 17 year old mark, and that's just a little bit too young to be throwing him into the first team. So thanks for your question though, Peter. I'd love to get all your thoughts on that one. Joss here has got in touch, says yesterday's performance from Liverpool is a bug, not a system. It's a result that was coming for a long time. The lack of control they play with is catching up with them. We don't lose that match yesterday because I doubt we concede those chances. Yeah, what an unbelievable game this was yesterday in the FA Cup. Manchester United versus Liverpool United going through 4-3 after extra time with Ahmad scoring that very late goal in extra time to send United through. It was 1-0 United, then it was 2-1 Liverpool, then it was 2-2, 3-2 Liverpool, then it was 4-3 Manchester United. Unbelievable game that will go down in that list of FA Cup classics. And I think you're right. I did the school run this morning. Was coming back talking to one of my son's classmates' dads. Hi Matt, if you're watching or listening. And we were talking about this exact point, and that sort of result, that sort of game has been coming for Liverpool for a long, long time. You know, Liverpool been brilliant this season. They've been really exciting. They've been thrilling to watch, but they have got away with it a lot this season in different games when teams haven't taken the chances that they are getting against this Liverpool side. United did that and they went through. You know, is this something we're going to see more and more between now and the end of the season? Have Liverpool's luck ran out, if you want to call it luck? We'll have to wait and see on that. But, you know, Liverpool are open and they do concede chances and they have got away with it at times this season. They didn't yesterday. It'll be very interesting to see, as Joss says, whether this is, you know, continues to be a bug between now and the end of the season, not a symptom, or if it was just a little bit of a one-off and they can continue to sort of outperform their XG at both ends of the pitch as they have done so many times this season. Yeah, but that was just a brilliant game, wasn't it? I don't think it was a good thing for Arsenal. I'd have much preferred Liverpool to go through and get into the semi-finals because that's just going to add to their fixture congestion between now and the end of the season. So I'd have preferred Liverpool to actually go through in that game from an Arsenal point of view, but it was a brilliant one to watch. And yeah, United ended up coming out on top. Megan Milaz here and Shaq Toure have both got in touch. This was in response to what I was talking about yesterday. Someone asked me, what if I had a choice this season, you know, what would I prefer? to choose a win against Man City in the Premier League or a win against Man City in the Champions League potential semi-finals. And I went down the route of I'd prefer it in the Premier League, because if I had a choice this season of just the Premier League or the Champions League, I would choose the Premier League, because I just think that's, it's been 20 years. I'm desperate to win the Premier League. And I think it would show that Arsenal are the best team in Europe right now, because I just think it, the hardest thing to do in Europe is to win the Premier League. It's the hardest challenge in football. And winning the Champions League, as brilliant as it would be, and it would be brilliant, and we've never done it before, and I'd love it so much if they did it. I still don't think that proves you're the best in Europe. And so that was my response to it. And Shaq Torre's got in touch here and said, Charles, you're smoking something if you think Champions League isn't worth winning. I never said that at all. It is absolutely worth winning. It'd be unbelievable. It'd be a dream to win it. It's not that it wasn't worth winning. I was just saying, if I had to choose between one this season, I would go for the Premier League rather than the Champions League. But Megan Millaz has got a really good point. He said, watching Tottenham almost win the Champions League in 2019 had me feeling sick. I'd be damned if they win it before we do. So the Champions League takes precedence over a league which was still the third most successful. This is actually a really good point that I hadn't considered yesterday. 2019, it was beyond horrible seeing Tottenham get to the Champions League final. I was in Valencia for their semi-final against Ajax when they came back, because Arsenal were playing Valencia in the semi-final Europa League on the Thursday night. And on the Wednesday night, me and all the journalists who were over there, we went and did the press conference at the Mestalla for Unai Emery that night, sort of previewing the game the following day. And then we all went down the pub and watched the Tottenham versus Ajax semi-final. And it was so, I left the pub. All the other journalists were laughing at me, because it was like, I was so devastated that Tottenham had got through. And when they won it in the last minute, I just walked out the pub. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't watch it. And then the final itself, again, I couldn't even watch. The fear of Tottenham winning that ahead before Arsenal was so much. I couldn't watch the final. I just kept flicking over to make sure Liverpool was still winning. It was just, yeah, it was such a horrible feeling. And so out of everything, this comment from Megan Millaz has made me reconsider almost what my choice was, because that Tottenham winning it ahead of Arsenal would be such a disaster. I'd hate it so much. So that's a really good point there. Lots of you have got in touch, and I think most of you have disagreed with me. Certainly the people who have responded have disagreed with me. Like, here's just some of them. Derek says, hiya. I feel I would love to win for us to win the Champions League. I understand your logic, but for me, the fact we've never won it, that's the one I want. And here's below, said Champions League for me all the way, win that. And then we end all the rants about not winning the Champions League. Would love to win both anyways. Kyra Russell says, wouldn't it be great if we win the Champions League in its last ever season in this format, in Arteta's first ever season as coaching it? I'm taking the Champions League over the Premier League. But if I had to choose, it's a Champions League. Although I absolutely agree, winning the Premier League is harder than the Champions League. DT says, if I had to choose between the Champions League and the Premier League, it's the former, because we've never won it. Other than that, it's the EPL. So lots of you getting in touch, responding. Thank you very much for that. And I think most of you disagree with me, although there were a few that agreed and thought it was the Premier League over the Champions League, but I thought it was an interesting one. And just before we go, Denler96 says, hi, Charles, in regards to Saliba potentially going to the Olympics, I think this could be a good chance to help Arteta find his second best partnership at centre-back. We all know how good Saliba is, but I want to know if we can keep a good defence if Saliba is unavailable. I don't want us to be like City when Rodri is out of their side and have a big drop-off in quality and fluidity. If that makes sense, keep up the work. Good work. It does make sense, 100%. I think it's an interesting debate, actually, really, because we haven't really seen it yet, what Arsenal would do if Saliba's been out. Touch wood. Of course, he's stayed fit for the whole season so far. You know, if Gabriel goes out, you know that Kivior will come in and play as a left-sided centre-back. But what happens without Saliba going forward, say, next season if Saliba goes out? Do Arsenal have enough to cover him? I think they probably do, but we don't really know yet what Mikel Arteta's thinking of it is, because Timber's been out for the whole season, who will really come into the equation for this, because Tomiyasu's been out as well. You know, I think if Saliba, if everyone's fit, if Timber's back, Tomiyasu's back, if everyone's fit and Saliba gets an injury, I think you've got plenty of options there, because you can just move Ben White into centre-back, which we saw happen at the start of the season alongside Saliba. Obviously, it was Gabriel who was left out at that point, but Ben White moved back into centre-back, which he could easily do if Saliba gets injured, play him alongside Gabriel. We know the two of them can play well together. And then you can have Timber or Tomiyasu at right-back, obviously Zinchenko at left-back, or Kivior at left-back. So I think there are options there. It'd be interesting to see what Mikel does, you know, what is in his mind for if Saliba does get injured. Thankfully, we haven't seen it so far this season. We haven't had to see it so far this season. But it'd be very interesting to see what he could do. And I do think that Arsenal have got enough quality, which that sort of drop-off you talk about, I don't think it would be huge because there's so much quality there. You know, Ben White's a brilliant centre back and can easily play that role. So yeah, thank you very much for getting in touch on that one. Right, that's it from me, everyone. Thank you very much for your time. As always, I really do appreciate it. Have a very good start to the week. Wherever you're watching this, I'll be back tomorrow to talk all things Arsenal once again. Anything you want me to discuss in that show, any question about anything, because there's plenty of time for us to talk about things over the next couple of weeks, because there's not actually any football to talk about. So yeah, anything you want me to discuss, answer questions on, please do let me know in the comments below. Until then, have a great day, everyone. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.